Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones, wherever you are. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, broadcasting live here in Dallas, Texas, in the United States of America, on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. By the way, I think you know we already have a Bible school or Bible college running online. We have students here in the United States of America. We have students in Africa, in Ghana, Uganda, Malawi, Tanzania, South Africa, Zambia, Botswana, Zimbabwe. And these guys are studying. Then we have students in the UK. We are intending to spread as much as we can to other European countries. Mind you, I've been to Holland. I preached in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. I've been to Sweden. I've held campaigns and crusades in Vågåda, in Herne, in Kumla, in Alingsås. I've been to London. I've ministered greatly in the area of London, coming down to Cardiff. I've ministered in Cardiff, and then I've been to Port Talbot with a friend of mine who was a teacher at our Bible school in Zambia. See, before I opened the school here online, I had a school in Zambia, Word of Life Bible College. And I trained over 100 pastors who are all over the world ministering the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here on the cutting edge of ministry, and we're never going to give up, no matter how the going gets. God has called me to reach millions for the kingdom of God. One way or another, it's going to happen. And already we are here on air. We're ministering to thousands. I've got YouTube programs running. I've got cameras that record me on YouTube. I've got recording equipment that put me up here on radio. We are focusing eventually by God's grace to be on television here in the United States of America and broadcast around the world. It's all going to happen by the power of God. See, we are, you know, moving by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and walking step at a time under the charismatic anointing of the Lord. You see, I have a mantle from Archbishop Ida Hossa. I lived with him for 2 years. That mantle is a mantle similar to the one which Elisha received from Elijah. I have a mantle in the miraculous, in working of miracles, in signs and wonders. See, the Archbishop was involved in signs and wonders, in miracles. He preached and he healed people. People were raised from the dead. He was a man of God, full of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that established a work with over 10,000 members in Nigeria. 10,000 members. We preached and moved from city to city, in Port Harcourt, in Lagos, in Calabar, in many, many parts of Nigeria. We went there and reached thousands upon thousands, millions to the Lord. We had people like Reinhard Bonnke come in a joint crusade. We had people like Richard Roberts come in a joint crusade. And by the way, I brought Richard Roberts to Zambia. We had a joint crusade with the President, Frederick Chiluba. And we had Richard Roberts in the country for a good 1 week. He ministered in the capital city of Lusaka. And then I was heading the pastoral coordination on the Copper Belt. So he came to the Copper Belt. I welcomed him at Indola Airport and had him come to Mufurila. We had big crusades in Mufurila, reaching thousands of people. I introduced him to the pastors in Mufurila. We had the mayor, we had the councillors, we had the permanent district secretary. And in Lusaka, the president himself, in fact, the president came to the Copper Belt to join Richard Roberts, President Frederick Chiluba. Although afterwards, people castigated him as having not been squandered government money and all that. People, you know, we should always remember when people do good, thank God for their lives. Don't destroy people. He worked hard. He did the best he could as a president. And welcoming a man of God in a country and opening doors for him at State House. He gave us free transportation to move. He gave me a car. The president gave me a car to drive all the way from Lusaka to the Copperbelt and coordinate the pastors. Richard Roberts was given three vehicles. He had all these big vans with his team to hold the crusades. And so what we are talking about, an impact to change the world for Jesus Christ. I've been there. I've seen the anointing of the Lord. We were with Frederick Casey Price. He came to Nigeria when the bishop held. I was there when we had lunch together with Casey Price, with the Archbishop Idahosa. Casey Price was with his daughter. You know, when you start having lunch with all these big people, guess what you get? An anointing, an impartation. You don't mix with great people and go out with nothing. You know, I Richard Roberts himself, I've been having lunch. I had lunch with Richard Roberts at the Italian restaurant in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Whenever I visited Tulsa, Richard Roberts sent his representative to pick me up from the airport. He put me up in a special hotel, right across the university, which his father had built, Dr. Oral Roberts. And we planned the crusade. We planned the meeting. He told me, Larry, I'm going to spend about $20,000 in this crusade. But thank God that the president helped. And Richard has been good to me, you know, always remembering me in times of need and supporting the work of the ministry. So we've been there, and this is time to do great works. There are works which have been on the scene and they have gone. But God is raising up a team of men, a company of men, to go out there and do exploits for the kingdom of God. And you need to be part and parcel of it. You see what I'm saying? So we have a Bible school running, Bible college running, which is a one-year course. It's in theology and Bible ministries. And those who are studying will graduate on the 8th of this year, December. And we have ceremonies in Zambia and here in the United States of America. And so I'm so happy that we shall see many outstanding men and women, men of God, graduate. And we're keeping up the fire burning by God's grace. We're doing it. It's a step at a time, but we are moving by the power of the Holy Ghost to achieve and do great and mighty things. Amen. And so, you know, I've traveled a lot. I've traveled a lot. I've done a lot of ministry here in the United States. I've been to Washington, D.C., preached there in Washington, D.C., where we had the Washington for Jesus prayer conference. We spent there like 3 days on the Washington Mall. We had a word that came from, I think it was President Reagan or President Carter, I can't remember now, who gave us a speech from the White House as we gathered there on the Mall. I've been to New York. I ministered in New York. I lived in Brooklyn for a while. I've been to Park Slope. I've been to Staten Island. I preached a lot in Queens. I've been to the Bronx. I ministered a lot all over the New York area. My friend has been to New Jersey and ministered by the power of God. Well, I've been to Southampton, where I was in seminary doing my Master of Divinity degree there, and then came down to Connecticut. I've been down to Maryland, where I have one of my graduate students who is there, the ministry, and I was there in Maryland and had a great time there. Then been to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Visited CBN, been to many outstanding works up there in Virginia Beach. I spent a lot of time in Gettysburg, in Maryland, pretty close to Washington, D.C. It's a suburb of Washington, D.C. And I had a family that hosted me when we had the Washington for Jesus conference. I've been down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, spent time there. I lived there in Tulsa for 1 year. I've been to St. Louis, Missouri, ministered a lot there. Been to Crystal City, Missouri, had big meetings with my dear friend there. Been to Aeolia in Missouri. God has been very faithful to me over the years. Had a television ministry in Zambia, the Hour of Breakthrough, and ministered on radio broadcasting, and also named as the Hour of Breakthrough. I've been on Radio Christian Voice in Zambia. I ministered there for 1 hour every Saturday. And so mass media communications is not so new to me. I have been on it for many, many years. God has opened that door for me, and I thank God for it. Well, today we're going to look into the Word of God, and we are looking in the book of Matthew. Start reading from chapter number 5, reading from verse number 1 to 20. If you are looking at the computer image, it says there, Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba presents Blessed Are the Pure in Heart. Now, let's read the scriptures as we move on in this teaching. Verse number 1. This was the Sermon on the Mount by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Verse number 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Now these are what we call the Beatitudes. He said, verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse number 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after, for they shall be filled. Verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's the kicker there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse number 10, blessed are they that are persecuted for their righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse number 11, blessed are ye when ye men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, verse 12. And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Now, verse number 13. The salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor or his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, beloved one, this is a very important scripture. I was doing a reading because I've got a series of books which I bought from my former seminary in Massachusetts, where I did my Master of Divinity degree program at the Gordon Cornwall Theological Seminary. I had these books I bought from the bookstore. It's entitled Nicene and the Post-Nicene Fathers. This is the first series. It's about Augustine. Augustine here has dealt quite a bit on the Sermon on the Mount and also the harmony of the Gospels and the homilies on the Gospels. Now, when I was reading this particular work, like I said, it's a select library of the Christian Church, the Nicene and Post-Nicene Fathers. It's a volume 6, where we see Augustine, Sermon on the Mount, Harmony of the Gospels, Homilies of the Gospels. It is edited by Philip Schaff, DD, LLD, DD, simply like my degree. It's DD, which is Doctor of Divinity, just like my degree, which I have. And DLLD, Doctor of Letters. He had a very powerful account. He said, you know, talking about these Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount. I like the way he stood his ground. He said that this particular teaching, it's a very powerful consolidated teaching. It says the beginning then of this sermon is introduced as follows: and when he saw the great multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he sat, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, if it is asked what the mountain means, it may well be understood as meaning the greater precepts of righteousness, for they were lesser ones which were given to the Jews. Yet it is one God who through his holy prophets and servants, according to the thoroughly arranged distribution of times, gave the lesser precepts to a people who as yet required to be bound by fear, and who through his Son gave the greater ones to a people whom it had now become suitable to set free by love. Now, you know, he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit or possess the earth. Now, in this particular teaching, we see the blessedness of being categorized in many of these categories that the Lord talks about. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Poor in spirit simply means people who lack the fulfillment of the word in their lives, who are lacking in the understanding of the scriptures, who are poor, who need more of the word. He said, such are people are blessed. And he said that blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning in the sense of loss in the kingdom of God, loss of the things which they value. You know, there is a lot of mourning and crying when you lose what you love. I read in the commentary, I just gave it to you, which said that we people, we mourn over things we leave for the sake of the kingdom. For example, you could have had friends you frequented with. You liked going to clubs. You liked going to have a drink out. You liked, you know, spending time in clubs and all that. But when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you changed your company. There is a kind of a loss there in the sense that the things you loved to do for so many years, you are to separate from them and put them on the back burner somehow. So there is that mourning that you mourn inside your inner man, your spirit, you cry. The Lord says you'll be comforted because the losses that you so like seemingly experience of your spiritual life, you see. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, meekness here speaks, you know, simply, meekness simply means being humble. When you are meek means you are humble, you are a person who takes a lower seat in a sense, although you know who you are. You know, here in the United States, they tagged and coined a greeting of yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And, you know, this has gone like a fire all over the United States. When you go in a shop or supermarket or wherever you are and you have some dealings in business, they will usually greet you when they see you come in the store and say, good morning, sir, you see, or good morning, ma'am. It's a coinage of a greeting which gives respect to that customer. But many times, sometimes the person who is saying, who's greeting you as good morning, sir, might even be bigger than you in financial status, you know what I'm saying. You find people with big money, but they run big stores, and they'll greet you, "Good morning, sir." It's a sense of humility. It doesn't mean that you are bigger than them. They just humble themselves to greet you with that coinage of a greeting. But in a sense, you find they might even be richer than you are, or bigger than you are financially, or more educated than you are. But it's just a sign of meekness. Being meek is a blessing. It's not good always to flash around our intelligence and our riches and, you know, having that pomposity, like they say, being very pompous, big-headed. It's good to just be humble sometimes. You know, excuse me. He said here, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So I just explained to you how you can mourn over the things that you love and you lost them, because, you know, for the sake of the kingdom. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I've come to realize that, you know, hungering for righteousness is true, you'll be filled. Because me, when I was born again, man, my life took a turn. I wanted to know of God as much as I could. I mean, I went full throttle. I never knew you could pray the whole night until the next day. But when I got born again and I linked myself with guys who could pray, I found out that you could have an overnight prayer. And I mean, I started seeking God. I wanted all I can get. And you know, when you are born again, there is that thirst in you to know God. It's a good thing because, you know, you'll be filled. There is such a vast of knowledge. Can you imagine a man who never wrote a book, Jesus Christ, but he has so many books written about him? A man who just preached his life to the people, gave himself to the people, with 12 apostles, less one, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. But can you imagine the impact that he has made? The whole world knows about Jesus. That's why the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, he said, you have no excuse. You have no excuse. You who say we did not know about Jesus, or you rejected God, you say you do not know about God. You have no excuse. The bottom line is that, you know, it's amazing how God revealed himself in Jesus Christ. Just, he came like a human. That's why, you know, it's very easy to stumble upon the grace of the Lord. Because Jesus, you know, revealed himself in human form. He was like anybody else. You know, he was born there in Bethlehem and he grew up in Nazareth. Anybody who saw him just thought it was another person. That's why, you know, like I'm saying, it's good to humble yourself because you do not know who you are talking to sometimes. You know, you look at people, you know, like me who is in retail business. I have a lot of people come into our business and I always give them due respect. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Because you never know who you are talking to. There were many people who saw Jesus and just thought he was just one of them Jews. Because he was a Jew. He looked just like a Jew. There was nothing that shined from his face like Moses to tell you he was the son of God. He mingled like all other men. Him to do something for you to know, he wasn't just a Jew. He opened blind eyes. He caused the lame to walk. He raised the dead. Those were significant miracles that separated him from the common rank and file. You see, our life will look just like anybody else. People will look at us and think, you know, we're just like anybody else. But the only thing that will make or put the difference between us and anybody else is the hand of the Lord upon our lives. It's when we do certain things and the power of God goes forth. See, when you look at, say, for example, Creflo Dollar Ministry, you know, you look at him, he's just like anyone else. But look at his ministry. It's huge and big. Why? Because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his life. You look at Oral Roberts. He looks like anybody else. But look at what he did. He built a university and reached the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. These are things we are talking about. We might look like anybody else, but the anointing is the thing that makes the difference. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, you see, purity in this sense means, you know, you got no guile. You remember when Nathanael was brought to Jesus? Jesus said to him, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Having no guile simply means in whom there is no sin, in whom there is no blemish as such. And then he said, oh Lord, how did you know me? He said, are you amazed that I can say this about you? I saw you when you sat down by the fig tree, whatever tree you sat down. He says, you shall see greater things than these. You shall see angels ascending and descending. You know, the life we live with the Lord Jesus Christ must be a life of purity. When we have a heart of purity, it causes great things to happen. Miracles happen because of our purity. God wants to use pure vessels to reach the world for Jesus Christ. You know, the servants of the Most High God must be pure in heart. And he says, when you are pure, you shall see God. You know, it does not mean that you cannot be, defiled in a way, or you cannot walk the path of sin sometimes. People have failed God in the history of the church. Moses, for example, he killed an Egyptian and he did not want to go and meet the Pharaoh. He refused the assignment of the Lord. He said, what if they don't believe me? But God said, no, you gotta go. He had an excuse. He said, but you know, Lord, I'm a stammerer. But God told him, you still gotta go. See, when the hand of the Lord is upon you, that he wants to use you, no matter what excuse you give, is not enough. But even through those little weaknesses that Moses had, God still picked him and had him as a mighty prophet towards the Egyptian Pharaoh. Through him, the mighty deliverance of over 3 million Jews took place. And so, blessed are you who are pure in heart, for you shall see God. And blessed are peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I see here, we've been singing from CNN, where President Obama has just been to Cuba. That is brokering peace over nations. It's being said that there's been no American president who has ever visited Cuba in over 50 years. But you see, he is a peacemaker. And the Bible said, when you are a peacemaker, you shall be called the children of God. And it's important for us to be peacemakers. Peacemakers between denominations. Peacemakers between pastors. Peacemakers between brethren. We don't need to be people who sow seeds of animosity. We shouldn't be people who sow seeds of differences. We should be peacemakers. And I can assure you, when we are peacemakers, we shall be regarded as children of God. Well, beloved one, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, signing off here in Dallas, Texas, on this Blog Talk Radio broadcast on the Mwamba World Outreach, telling you we'll see you again. God bless you, and may you do great things for the kingdom of God. Amen, and bye-bye.